This is the Dinner Party Download, your audio culture atlas. Subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. And now the main course, the part of the show where we talk about food.
All right, Rico. So recently I went to a new restaurant in New York that serves kuba, which is a Kurdish treat that's essentially a ball of dough made of bulgur or rice and filled with lamb, beef, or vegetables.
And you brought me back dozens of them to eat. How nice of you.
No, I ate them all.
Boo.
While talking to Chef Melanie Shurka. She owns the place and serves these morsels Israeli style in beautiful broth like beet, Persian chicken, chard, and more.
All right, so it's broth with these kuba, which they sound like Middle Eastern dumplings, I guess.
Well, I'd be careful with that terminology. When we started our conversation, Melanie had one request.
That we try to just call it kuba and not call it a dumpling?
Oh, sure. Well, let's start right there. So in a lot of the media coverage of this spot, they do call it a dumpling.
So dumpling is the word we have for something inside something. And that's really what it means. The problem with the word dumpling is that most people, it makes them think of something Asian. Every culture has something that's something stuffed with something else. And I really hope that from this restaurant, we can have the word kuba be part of, you know, the everyday language and start calling it kuba, just the way we call it a burrito and not, I don't know, a wrap.
So looking at your menu, you have items informed by Kurdistan, you have items from Iraq, Syria. For someone who doesn't know about the cuisine of that region, that vast region, is this a universal item that you would find in all these cultures and countries?
Yes. Most people know kibbeh, which is what they think of in this fried bulgur wheat formed into like a roundish shape with ground beef and pine nuts on the inside. And that's the one that you find in Lebanese, Syrian, Palestinian, Israeli. You find it in all of those cuisines. And then there's kuba, which is the same word. It's just the way it's said in the Kurdish accent. And they do it in a broth. So you find specifically the Kurds, the Iraqis, and the Syrians do a version in a broth. Palestinians do one as well, all different ones. And I'm focusing on that one, even though we do the fried one as well, just because you can almost not get it anywhere in the U.S.
Tell me about your relationship to this dish.
So I'm a New Yorker, born in New York. My father's from Israel. My grandparents are from Iran. I grew up with Israeli and Iranian food. And actually, specifically kuba, when I was 16, I had an Israeli-Iraqi boyfriend who told me, you have to have my mother's kuba. It's the greatest thing in the world. People wait in line for it. And I thought I knew everything about Middle Eastern cuisine, but it was nothing I've ever had. And I finally had it, and it's something that I remember savoring over this dish. And I remember how the beef from the kuba shell poured out of the kuba into this beet broth and sort of change the consistency of the broth, and it's something that I really loved.
So how did you arrive here?
So this is a journey of like 5 years. About 5 years ago, I decided I wanted to open up a restaurant. Previous to that, I worked as a server for years, and I loved it. I actually had gotten my law degree and became a lawyer.
I, too, have a law degree that I pay for on the 15th of every month, but don't use.
I'm happy I did it, but I very quickly realized that I'd rather talk to you about your creme brulee and how it is and how it's not versus being in court. And very quickly, I was like, this is where I need to be. I love being of service to people.
I also just like to be able to wear more casual clothes.
I like wearing more casual clothes, too. That's a huge bonus to this industry. I did spend 3 weeks in Israel learning kuba authentically with a Syrian woman, with an Iraqi woman, a Kurdish woman, and two different restaurants. And then spent a year developing the recipes and saying, you know what, I like the way the kuba dough is made by this woman, Etty, but I like the meat that was done at this restaurant, Rahmo. And I took little things here and there and developed, which is definitely authentic kuba, but there's definitely my twist on it, and sometimes little undertones of a little Persianness that's added to the flavor.
Okay, so I'm going to just eat some of this, because this is just this gorgeous, gorgeous, rich red color.
This is the selek broth. Selek means beet in Hebrew, and it's a beet soup that's very traditional in Iraqi culture. And it has beef kuba in it. However, the beef kuba is called siska. Traditionally, the beet broth would come with a rounded, ball-like kuba with grounded beef on the inside. We're serving it with the siska, which is the Kurdish kuba. It's like a slow-cooked meat that we traditionally is they do it with oil, but I do it by slow cooking it for over 3 hours. And we pull the beef and then fill it into this bulgur and semolina dough. So we serve that one. You can have it in any of the broths.
All right, so I'm going to try it here in the beet broth. I'm going to bring it closer to me instead of... I'm wearing a white shirt and eating beet broth.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow, that is exquisite.
Yeah.
Mm, I feel like sometimes when I eat little morsels like this, I know what it's like to be a wild animal capturing something and biting into it, and it's just so primal and satisfying.
That's exactly what I want you to feel.
And there's more, I guess I'm assuming more broth is coming into, like, is now blending with this beet while I'm eating.
Definitely, yeah. So that's sort of the experience. You taste this, I always taste the soup first, then I cut into the kubo with the spoon, and you just get a little bit more flavor. And it's changing the flavor because there's flavor in the beef that's not in the soup. And now it's changing the flavor of the soup.
And the beet has the earthiness, of course, but there's a cleanness to the broth. I don't know if that's a lemon or something. So juxtaposed with the richness of the beef, it kind of makes it softens what you would think would be a heavier kind of item.
Exactly. Also, we make these broths on the lighter side for the summer. As it gets colder, we'll maybe go a little thicker, but they are meant to be. I think that's most people's impression is like, oh, it's a lot lighter than I was expecting, and it feels really soothing even in the hot weather.
Well, thank you so much for sharing this with us, and I totally think this was a better decision than appearing in a court of law in a business suit every day.
I think so too. Thank you.